Well, the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at scripture passages from the book of Acts. And on both Sundays, although it wasn't really planned that way, and although it wasn't a series of any sort, our focus has been each time upon the call of God. We heard a couple of weeks ago how we can know what God has called us to do, how he has called us to serve in the church. We heard how, as a congregation, we can know whom God would have to serve and to fill various offices within the congregation. And then last week, we heard that it's the Spirit of God who enables us, who empowers us to serve, that we might carry out God's will and his purpose. And I felt led to build on this, and for this reason, we are going to begin a series of messages that are going to focus upon our response to God's call on our life. And this series, as you heard, it's going to be based on the book of Jonah. And so each week, we're going to focus on one chapter of this book. Now, when you hear this, some of you might automatically check out. I hope you don't, but you might. And you might do that for a couple of reasons. You might do so, first of all, because you think you already know the story of Jonah. Now, what you're going to hear today, I'm going to tell you, this is the familiar part. But the rest of it, for most of you, you probably don't know the story of Jonah. At least not that well. You know the basics, but you're going to see some things that aren't typically heard and that aren't typically taught when this story is used in a Sunday school class, when it's used in vacation Bible school. You might also check out because, and we addressed this also a couple of weeks ago, but you don't think this topic applies to you. You don't think it applies to you because when we think of the call of God, most of us think of those who have been called by God into the full-time ministry. So we think of missionaries called by God to serve in a faraway nation. We think of pastors who are called to devote all of their time to the preaching and to the teaching of God's word. You might think of youth pastors and worship leaders and others who are often called by the church to fill roles of ministry within the congregation. We often think about these people and we wonder how they were called into ministry. We wonder what their story is. We wonder how God spoke to them. We wonder how they heard the voice of God. And we wonder how they can be sure of their calling. However, as we have heard the last couple of weeks, it's not just those who are serving in full-time ministry who have been called by God. All of us have been called by God. All of his people, each one of his faithful, have been called by God into his service. And it really doesn't matter where your paycheck comes from. It doesn't matter if it comes from a church or a ministry. It doesn't matter if it comes from another profession or career path. No matter how you support your family, you have been called by God. But the question for us that we're going to be considering today is, how do we respond to the call of God? How do we respond to it? And if you are like most, you have a tendency to dismiss it. You have a tendency to resist it. You have a tendency to seek to escape from it. For whatever reason, and I shouldn't say for whatever reason, it ultimately comes out of our sinful nature. But we simply do not want to carry out the call of God. We do not want to submit to God's leading in our life. And if this is the case with you, then the first chapter of Jonah teaches us an important lesson. It gives us the chance to learn from somebody else's mistake rather than repeating it ourselves. And it reveals to us the natural tendency that resides within each one of our hearts. In Jonah, he is the perfect man for us to look at as we consider our response to the call of God. He's the perfect man to consider because out of all of the prophets that we read about in Scripture, Jonah was far from the ideal prophet. In fact, we could say that Jonah, he is the perfect example of what not to do in most of the cases we're going to look at over the course of this next month. You know, when we think of the prophets of God that we read about in Scripture, we see men who were obedient. We see men who submitted to the call of God. But again, this was not the case with Jonah. He wasn't like the others who were willing to do anything and everything necessary to carry out God's will. He wasn't like those who were willing to put their lives at risk to do the things that God desired of them. So again, as we think of the ordinary prophets that we tend to envision in our minds, it doesn't describe Jonah in the least. But as we look at chapter 1 of Jonah, and again, this is the familiar part of the story for most of us, we see that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, telling him to go to the city of Nineveh and to call out against it. Now, Nineveh, it was not a part of the nation of Israel. It was the capital of Assyria, a nation, really an empire, a growing empire, that was about 500 miles away from Israel. It was a nation that posed a threat to all of the surrounding nations, including Israel. And Jonah was commanded by God to go to that city, to go to the city of Nineveh, and to call out against it. He was called to proclaim the coming judgment of God to the people of this city. Now, as we just simply stop and consider this call of God that was given to Jonah, it's pretty easy for us to understand his reluctance. As I stop and as I look at it, I can see several reasons why Jonah might be reluctant to go there and to carry out this calling. The first thing we see as we look at this call of God is that he would have to travel a great distance to do so. Now, to us, 500 miles, it's really not that big of a deal anymore, is it? We can easily hop in our car and we can drive 500 miles in less than a day, and so it's no big deal. We can go to the airport, hop on a plane, and we can land 500 miles away and even less time than that. But when you do not have cars, when you don't have planes, it takes a lot more time. It takes a lot more effort to travel that distance. Second, Jonah was called to go to the enemy to proclaim the word of God. And if Jonah was anything like us, this is the last thing that he would want to do. You and I will willingly reach out to those who matter to us. We'll willingly reach out to those of whom we have a high opinion, but we hesitate to do so with somebody we dislike. We hesitate to do so with the enemy. And last of all, he was called to proclaim a very difficult message. He was called to proclaim a message that, generally speaking, the people would not want to hear. Jonah wasn't called to go to Nineveh and proclaim a message of love and of peace. It wasn't a message that would make his listeners feel all warm and fuzzy as they heard the word of God being declared to them. Jonah was called to go to his enemies and proclaim a message of wrath. He was called to proclaim to them a message of judgment. Now, as we think about all these things, it's something to which most of us can relate. Because quite often, when we realize God's call upon our life, it can seem pretty unappealing to us. And quite often, for very similar reasons. Even though it sounds noble that God has called upon us to reach the world for Christ, even though it seems noble that God has called us to proclaim the message of salvation to those who are lost, there are elements of this call that simply make us want to cringe. We sometimes cringe because we know that God's call, it's going to upset our life. And I've seen this with many people who have been called into full-time ministry. They've resisted because if they answer God's call, it's going to completely upend everything that is comfortable about their present situation. It may mean that they're going to have to leave their current job. They may have to leave a job that they enjoy. They might have to leave a job that provides better income than ministry may provide. And that's a hard thing to do. Sometimes they resist because they know it means moving away from home and family. It means moving away from what is familiar and going to a very unfamiliar place, maybe even to an undesirable place. They may be called by God to go to a part of the country or even to a part of the world that seems dangerous or threatening in some way. And they resist the call of God for those reasons. I've also seen people resist because if you're going into ministry, it may mean going back to school, something that many of us have no desire to experience ever again in our lifetime. God's call can also be unappealing because, again, there are some people to whom, frankly, we don't want to minister. There are people who feel threatening to us. There are people who, in our estimation, are more deserving of judgment than others. Maybe it's the Muslim family who lives down the street. Maybe it's a group of gang members selling drugs, you know, on the corner. Maybe it's a group of convicts who've gotten out of prison and they're seeking, at this point in their lives, to re-enter society. But whatever the case may be, we simply do not want to minister to that group of people. We're not comfortable doing it. We also cringe at times because of the message that God has called us to proclaim. The message of the gospel, the message of God's grace, we know it's absolutely a wonderful, wonderful thing. But we also know that more often than not, people react very negatively to this message. They don't like hearing about their sin. They don't like hearing about the judgment that they deserve. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the only way that they can be saved. It's a hard, hard message to deliver in many cases. Now, at this point in the story, Jonah's actions are not explained to us. This comes out later on, and we are going to talk about this in detail in a later week. But we are simply told in this passage that Jonah arose and he sought to flee to the city of Tarshish. Now, if you look at a map of the world back in scriptural times, this is what you see. And if you look at that map, you'll notice that Tarshish, it's in completely the opposite direction of Nineveh. Nineveh was to the northeast of Israel, as you can see there. And Tarshish, it's to the west, far, far west of Israel. And so as we look at this map, what we see is that instead of heeding God's call to go to Nineveh, Jonah intended to flee in the exact opposite direction. So Jonah went up to a port town called Joppa, and he found a boat that was headed to this city of Tarshish. He paid the fare, and he got on board in order to flee from the presence of the Lord. And this, you see, is really the key to understanding the intentions of Jonah. Jonah was seeking, again, to flee from the presence of God. Now, it's easy for us to be critical of Jonah as we read that statement, because it is sinful. It's clear that he was in the wrong. So it's easy for us to condemn him. It's easy for us to accuse him of stupidity. But how often do we do the same exact thing as Jonah? Again, I've met many such people, many of whom are pastors and missionaries today. These are people who had sensed the call of God from a young age, but even so, they ran from it, and they ran from it for years. They went on with life, and they tried to do their own thing, ignoring the voice of God. They got married. They worked in another career. In some cases, they lived a life of sin. They lived a life of rebellion against God, and it was only much later in life that they finally gave in to God's call and followed his leading. And many of us, we do the same exact thing. And again, this applies to all of us, not only to those of us in full-time ministry. Again, we try to flee from the call of God. We naturally flee from his call to share the gospel with others. We naturally flee from his call to use the gifts that he has given to us to minister to the body of Christ. We flee from his will in so many areas of our lives. We might flee from his will to simply parent our children. We might flee from God's will to love our spouse or to love our neighbor or to serve those whom God has placed under our care. But just like Jonah, whatever the case might be in our individual lives, we resist God's call and we run from him. Now, this doesn't mean that we do like Jonah. This doesn't mean that we go and get on board a ship or jump in our car and go in the opposite direction. But we close our ears to him. We ignore the voice of God as he calls out to us. and we do our own thing. Instead of heeding his call, we live life on our terms. But as we see in the story of Jonah running from God, it's not possible. And as we also see from this story, running from God is not a safe thing for us to do. And we see this in the fact that as Jonah traveled aboard this boat, as he headed to the west in the opposite direction that God had called him to go, God caused a great wind and there was a strong storm upon the sea. The storm was so bad, in fact, that the ship threatened to break up. And the sailors, they did everything they could. They did everything they could think of in order to save themselves. They threw their cargo into the sea to lighten the load. And we see that they cried out to their gods. Now, as all of this was going on, we read, Jonah, he had gone down into the inner part of the ship. He was in a deep sleep, so he didn't have a clue what was happening. But at this point, the captain came down. He woke Jonah up, and he told Jonah to call out to his God. And he said that perhaps Jonah's God would give them a thought so that they would not die. Now, at this point, their response seems pretty normal to us. If we were in their situation, we would respond in much the same way. First of all, we would do everything that we could to help ourselves from a rational standpoint. And of course, after we had done that, we would pray. But as we look at this account, we see that they didn't stop there. They decided at this point that they needed to find out who was responsible for the predicament they found themselves in, and they decided to cast lots to find out who that person was. So the sailors, they obviously didn't think like you and I tend to think today. As they were on board the ship, and as they were in the middle of this terrible, terrible storm, they didn't think that this storm was simply the result of bad luck. They didn't think that it was the result of weather patterns. They didn't think that it was the result of global warming. They assumed that one of them had done something wrong. They assumed that one of them had done something to anger their God, and that this was the reason that they found themselves in such danger. Now, casting lots, it's a practice that we see many times in the Bible. The people saw it as a way of consulting God for a decision or for an answer to a question. We saw this a couple weeks ago when the apostles were casting lots to find out whom God would have to fill the office of Judas. And even though this practice might seem random to us, even though it might seem like nothing more than flipping a coin, they understood that it took the decision out of the hands of men. And this would eliminate any accusation of corruption. It would eliminate any accusation of prejudice or human opinion. And so perhaps we write it off too easily today. After all, as we read in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And we see several times in Scripture that God did, in fact, work through the casting of lots to reveal an answer to his people. But when they did this, when the sailors cast lots, the lot fell to Jonah. And for this reason, they began to question Jonah. They asked him about himself. They asked why this evil had come upon them. They asked where he had come from. They asked what he did for work. They asked what people he belonged to. And at this point, Jonah confessed. At this point, Jonah explained everything to them. He told them that he was a Hebrew, and he told them that he feared the Lord God of heaven, who made both the sea and also the dry land. And this information frightened them because they knew that he was running from God. Things were only getting worse. So then they asked him what they could do that the sea might quiet down for them. And Jonah told them, as most of you know, to throw him into the sea. And he told them that if they did so, then the sea would grow calm for them. And he was certain of this because he knew that the storm was the result of his sin, that it was the result of his actions. Now, this probably sounds crazy to you. I know that if I were there, if I were in Jonah's shoes, I would not have given these instructions. Even if I knew that God was after me, I don't think I would tell anybody to take my life. But knowing his guilt, knowing that he was the one God was after, Jonah did not want to put the lives of the others at risk. So he was willing to sacrifice himself to preserve the lives of the other men on board. However, it didn't seem right to the men on the ship. They didn't really want to go along with Jonah's idea, and we know this because initially they didn't throw him into the sea. They didn't want the guilt of killing Jonah to be on their heads because they prayed about this. We'll see that in just a moment. So first of all, after Jonah told them to throw him overboard, they rowed as hard as they could to get back to dry land. They were making one last attempt, it seems, to get back to safety without sending Jonah to his doom. But they made no progress, we are told, because the storm was only growing worse and worse and worse. And so finally, the sailors called out to God, and in verse 14, here is what they prayed. O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So in this way, they asked that God would not hold them guilty for the life of Jonah. They were telling God that because he is the one who sent the storm, they shouldn't be held responsible for Jonah's death. And they then picked up Jonah and they hurled him into the sea. And when they did so, the sea immediately ceased from its raging. The storm ended. They were no longer in danger, and this caused the fear of the Lord, we are told, to come upon them. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to the Lord. It's interesting that God used even Jonah's rebellion to draw people to faith in him. It shows the greatness of God's mercy. And it shows to us how God can use us for his purpose even when we are weak and even when we fail. However, as we see from Jonah, it is not possible for us to flee from the Lord. God is everywhere. As Jonah told the sailors, this is the God of the heavens who made the sea and the dry land. In other words, he has authority over everything in all of creation, and nowhere are we beyond God's grasp. This truth, it summed up very well for us in Psalm 139. And starting in verse 7, here's what we read. Where shall I go from your presence, from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. So again, there is nowhere we can go where the Lord is not present. And for this reason, we know that there is absolutely nowhere to run. There is nowhere that we can flee in order to escape the presence of God. And as we also see from the example of Jonah, attempting to do so, attempting to flee from the Lord, is dangerous. We have to realize that our failure to obey the call of God, it's an act of rebellion. In other words, it's sinful. By running from the call of God, we are running from God himself. And this is something that's always been pressed on my heart as I serve God in ministry. I have a clear call on my life. There is no doubt in my mind as to what God would have me do. And there's no way I can refuse this call without refusing God. The only way I can reject the call is by rejecting God himself. And quite frankly, there have been times where that is the only thing that has kept me in ministry. However, as I mentioned earlier, it's comforting to know that God can use us, even in times of weakness. It's comforting to know that he can use us, even in times of failure. It's comforting to know that God can reach a people for himself, even when we refuse his call. It's comforting to know that even though... Let me start over. It's comforting to know that even though God desires to use us to reach the world for himself, this ability of God to reach the world, it doesn't live or die based on our obedience. But as we come to the end of the chapter, things seem to go from bad to worse for Jonah. Because as he is hurled into the sea, as he faces the prospect of certain death, and you know what happens? God appointed a great fish to come and to swallow him. And Jonah, he was in the belly of this fish for 3 days and for 3 nights. And I don't know about you, but as I read this story, as I envision this without knowing anything else about the rest of this book, it seems absolutely horrible because instead of dying and drowning quickly, he now faces a slow and a painful death as he's digested in the belly of this fish. But as we conclude our look at the first chapter of Jonah, again, the question we need to ask ourselves is this. How are we responding to the call of God on our life? Are we closing our ears to his voice? Are we running from God? And again, what I want to impress upon you today is just as we have seen in this chapter, there is nowhere that we can run. We cannot find a place in all of creation where we are hidden from the presence of God. And as we have also seen, running from God is a dangerous thing to do. It's sinful. It's an act of defiance. It's an act of sin that makes us deserving of God's judgment. And so for this reason, I encourage each of you to, as you find God's call for your life, to submit to it. No matter what that call might be, I encourage you to receive it as the will of God for your life. And so no matter what it is, no matter how unappealing it may seem to you, we must not resist the call of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jonah. And we thank you for a couple of reasons. We thank you because often when we read Scripture, we imagine that these people that you used were perfect. We imagine that they did everything right. And so it's comforting, Lord, in that sense, to consider Jonah, a man who is much like us, a man who was not innocent, who was not perfect, who clearly failed, just as we do. And so we pray that we can be encouraged by that fact, that we are not alone in our failure. But we thank you also for the lesson that we learn from him. That, Lord, once again, we cannot flee from your presence. That it is not safe for us to flee from your call. And as we evaluate our lives, as we look at our response to your call, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to, first of all, see our sin. Help us to see the areas where we have fled from your call. We pray that you would bring us to confession and to repentance, acknowledging our sin and seeking your mercy because of our wrongdoing. And we pray that you would work in us so that we would turn from our sinful ways and that we would surrender ourselves to you, not only for our sake, not only for salvation, but also, Lord, for the sake of others, that your call upon our life might be fulfilled. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.